I am very grateful for the opportunity to be here this evening. It is my first meeting with devotees since coming from abroad. This gathering is in honor of a very dear soul, Shyamasundari Devi. Shyamasundari should be always remembered as a very special dear devotee who had a most auspicious life. Janma mrityu chara vyadi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. Birth and death are inevitable in this material world, cannot be avoided. Thus, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Sukadeva Goswami explains that an auspicious life is one of quality, not necessarily quantity. There are trees 5,000 to 7,000 years old, and some of the greatest personalities in the history of our world lived only a short time. One moment of full consciousness of Krishna is millions of times greater in value than a long, long life wasted in illusion. The soul is eternal. Najayate mriyate vakadachint. It is not subject to birth or death. The eternal soul is part of Krishna, Satchidananda, eternally the servant of Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that this material world is no place for a gentleman, or we could say a lady. Why? Because it is an embarrassing situation. For Krishna's eternal servant, who has an eternal spiritual body, especially designed for the eternal pastimes of the Lord, to be encaged, entrapped in this mundane tabernacle of blood and pus and urine, bones, subject to disease, inflicted by time, it is an embarrassing situation. The lower species, they are struggling hard simply to maintain their bodies and find some pleasure through eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And they die and take another birth. Die and take another birth. Human life is so precious. durlabha manava janma lobhiya samsare. Very rare. 8 million lower species. Only 400,000 species of human beings, of which most live like two-legged animals. Although human life is so rare, dulabha manava janama satsange taraha evidyo. The greatest benediction of human life is the association of devotees. Because in that association only can we understand the auspicious purpose we have the opportunity to achieve. To not take birth in this material world again. To reconnect our consciousness with our original nature. To love Krishna. And to serve Krishna always in that love. One who has this chance is truly fortunate. In the West, if one lives a long life, they get special privileges and awards. In the United Kingdom, on your 100th birthday, you get a gift from the Queen of England. That is considered a great honor. The Queen of England sends you a special message and blessing. I don't know how much you can enjoy that blessing at 100 years old, but it certainly is an honor. Because in materialistic society, how much money you can earn, how much fame you can acquire, how many credentials you can accumulate, how long you live. These are standards of success. Or to some people, how many children and how many grandchildren and how many great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. But none of these standards have anything to do with the real purpose of life. The real purpose of life is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. In Mahaprakash Lila, that simple maidservant, she wasn't necessarily old, a simple maidservant named Duki attained ultimate perfection because of her enthusiasm to serve the devotees. Prabhupada talked about that widow at Radha Damodar Temple who every day with great enthusiasm came to bring water to the deities. She had no money. She had no fame. She actually had no success in her life by any material standards. But the greatest acharya in the world, years after, thousands of miles away, is praising her with love in his heart, using her as an example of what is success in life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained what is success. Na dhanam na janam na sundirim kavitam vaja gadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohai tikitvai. He discarded any value to wealth, to the association of the beauty of the opposite sex, fame, followers, even kavitam, even being learned. All of these things he considered external trappings. He did not even consider liberation worth endeavoring for. Only pure devotional service. It is the only standard of success. How much we are attached to the association of devotees. Because attachment to devotees is attachment to Krishna. Attachment to the holy name. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna has descended. He is none different than his name. How are we actually attached to Krishna's name? Attached to the service of the deities. Attached to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the other holy scriptures. And especially enthusiastic to serve. Enthusiasm to serve the name, the deity, the Bhagavatam, the conditioned souls, and especially the Vaishnavas. One who has that sincere enthusiasm has attained real treasure of life. That is wealth. That is value. Such a life is glorious. From this calculation, which is revealed by Krishna, the scriptures, the gurus and the sadhus, we can very honestly appreciate the glory of the life of our very dear Shamsundari Devi. From her earliest childhood, she was nourished with the milk of bhakti. Mother's love for a child is to nourish her with her milk. But the real milk of life for the soul is devotional service. Our very esteemed Janava Mataji fed her children with such sincere bhakti. Her life, her soul, her everything was dedicated to giving her children pure devotional service. And such a transcendentally saintly person she is, that Janava Devi made hundreds of her hundreds of people, her children, and fed her that love. In that environment of the worship of Sri Radha Shamsundar, service to the Vaishnavas, wonderful sadhana, wonderful satsangs, Brajakumari and Shamsundari grew up and developed natural love for Krishna. We have known this special soul since her very, very small childhood. She was always eager to assist her mother, her elder sister, in serving the Vaishnavas. Eager to help her mother serve the deities, eager to put on dramas, to chant, to dance. And as she grew up, she was like a jewel that became brighter and brighter and brighter. An extraordinary personality. In this age of Kali, what happens to the vast majority of teenage children? The types of corruptions and maya that they're subjected to. Being very close to this wonderful devotee family, Janava Mataji would always confide in me about her children. And the worst maya I ever heard about Shamsundari is she liked to dress nicely sometimes. Even the gopis like to dress nicely sometimes. She was actually a very sinless devotee. She was never corrupted by immorality, unethical behavior, sins, breaking regulative principles. Her life was pure. Her life was innocent. And as she grew older, by her own will, not by the force of her mother or sister or anyone else, but by her own will, she dedicated her life to Krishna. Her mother gave her the environment, but ultimately everyone has to make their own choice. She made that choice. Practically every Sunday, after working so hard in school and other chores, she would come all the way to Bombay, Radha Gopinath Temple, by train from Pune, just to associate with the devotees, to be with her spiritual master. That was spontaneous, even while in ill health. She really had enthusiasm. She was always so worried about her older sister. Is she chanting her rounds? Is she doing everything she can for Krishna? Her standard of life was so simple, so innocent, and so pure. She loved the Vaishnavas, and the Vaishnavas loved her. She was everyone's daughter, everyone's sister, and everyone's friend. Shamsundari spontaneously had such great affection for the deities of her home, Radha Shamsundar. Every morning, assisting her mother in elaborate puja, even before going to school or anything, that was her first priority. To take shelter of the holy name, chanting her rounds, and helping her mother as the servant of the servant of the family deities, Radha Shamsundar. While many teenage girls have idols and heroes of this world. Her idol and hero was Radharani in Vrindavan. She would collect money, whatever she would earn, so much of it she would buy special jewels and bring them to Vrindavan and offer them to Srila Prabhupada's own beloved Ishtadev of Srimati Radhika. And during the last yatra in Kartik, she would stand for hours and hours every day, weeping in prayer at the lotus feet of Sri Radharani and Shamsundar in Vrindavan. Such spontaneous, natural devotion. And it was in this consciousness that she departed from this mortal world. When I was in Moscow, I was given a small ornament that was hand-painted by one of the Russian devotees with a painting of Yashoda and Gopal. It was so beautiful. I actually had it for several years. I never wore it because I don't wear jewelry, but I was actually very attached to it because it was just so nice. It was given to me with such love in Moscow. Somehow or other, Krishna impelled me to give that as a gift to Radha, to Shamsundari Devi. She wore it always. She meditated as she chanted the holy name. And her last words before leaving this world was she asked for that bead bag with her japa beads and the Krishna that was given to her by her spiritual master. That was her spontaneous request when she was coming in and out of coma. Yes, Shamsundari is very fortunate. For the world, it is very sad that she has left so early, as it was with our beloved Nandini. Yes? But the ways of the Lord are mysterious to our intelligence. Material intelligence cannot fathom the inconceivable love of Krishna. But we know with faith, a faith that goes beyond intellectual gymnastics, that such a devotee who is so dear to Krishna is very much under Krishna's personal direction. It is love, it is mercy that was the reason why she was taken from us. Yes, it is sad, because such devotees are desperately needed within this world. A person who had such a clean and innocent heart and such spontaneous love for Krishna in a world of envy, greed, lust, violence. But Krishna had a higher plan to take her. And therefore, she is fortunate. Her passing from this world was all-auspicious, and this is for certain. In her life, she earned the love and the respect of so many great souls. The entertainers of Bollywood may have millions of fans, but there's no success in that. There's no real love. There's no real respect. It's all on the level of sense gratification. But Shyam Sundari, she attracted genuine love and respect from great personalities. Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, Lokanath Swami Maharaj, Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj, Devamrit Prabhu, Shyamanand Prabhu, Krishnanand Prabhu. All the exalted grihastas of the Pune, Bombay, Radha Rasbihari, Radha Gopinath Mandir. People who were honestly, earnestly dedicating their lives in the service of the Lord. Advanced, saintly people. People who were genuinely searching for the highest truth. It was this class of first-class human beings that loved her and respected her. To attain that is no small thing. It is glorious. To earn the love and respect of great souls is billions of times more valuable than all the money, all the fame, and all the credentials that the universe has to offer. And she gained that at such a young age. Incredible. So yes, her life is all auspicious. Her life is glorious. Her life is truly an occasion to celebrate. In our Gaudiya Vaishnav culture, sometimes we celebrate by dancing and singing. Sometimes we celebrate by crying. But yes, today is a celebration. Today we are looking back and looking forward, and we are celebrating a glorious life of a person who we loved so dearly. We are all proud of Shyam Sundari Devi. Krishna has blessed her. And Radharani has mysteriously, inconceivably fulfilled her innermost heart's desire. Sri Radharani has fulfilled her prayer. I am especially very, very proud of Janava Devi and Braja Kumari Devi. It has been very difficult for both of them to lose such an intimate friend, daughter, sister. Over the past year, both Janava Mata and Brajakumari Devi have passed through this very, very difficult test with tremendous dignity, spiritual integrity. Sometimes it's difficult to maintain our faith and our enthusiasm when such a crisis comes into our life. Brajakumari was actually going to give up her service at Gopal's garden. But after this happened, she was informed that Shamsundari would want you to continue. And she continued. And by her enthusiasm to serve, even in this condition of separation from her only sister, she's creating a school that I believe will be an example for the whole world to follow. And Janava Devi, what can I say? She's a guru in her own right to so many people's hearts. And although she's in a time of her life when she requires taking shelter most, she's still giving shelter to so many. And tonight, these two great personalities, wonderful personalities, have invited all of us together. To offer the highest quality blessings to Shamsundari Devi. And that is what we have come to do. To pray for her and to recognize what a wonderful devotee she is and what a fortunate and auspicious life she was given. Dying of old age is not a glorious thing. It's actually hellish. For someone to not have to go through that is not so bad. As a devotee, we only want to live long for we could do as much service as possible. Otherwise, we have no use for these bodies. But anytime Krishna wants us to serve in another place, in a higher realm, we should be grateful to go. Thank you, Janava Mataji. Thank you, Brajakumari Devi. Your example is a very, very shining light for all of us to be inspired by and to follow. I wish to thank all of you. It is so wonderful. Such a family. I believe everyone who has come here tonight are like dear family members to Shamsundari and her family. This type of love, this type of care, and genuine harmony of hearts is really what Vaishnav society is. I thank Shyam Sundari from the very core of my heart for attracting us all to be together tonight and for her wonderful life and devotional service and for her wonderful love, enthusiasm in helping me to serve Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.
After Shama left us, Maharaj instructed my mother and myself to compile a book on Shama's life. And it was very hard to do it because it was painful to recount so many experiences. We were also asking devotees to write in, send their offerings. And I'm sure it must be painful for each one. And as I was receiving emails and remembrances and write-ups and articles, I was reading each one of them. I was just thinking, each one of them was so heartfelt. They were not written for formality or etiquette. And each one of them so vividly showed their relationship with her. So I want to thank Maharaj for giving us this chance and I'd like to present the book to Maharaj. Prabhu, we'll just read it out.
Loknath Maharaj phoned up yesterday from Pune and he read out this offering on the phone and he requested us to read it out. So I'll do. I have been visiting Pune for the last so many years. I remember visiting Mother Janwa's house a few days before she left. I was in Pune conducting Bhagwat Saptah, which started on 27th of December and ended on 2nd of January. Mother Janwa invited me saying, Shyam Sundari is very keen to serve you and cook for you. Please do come. Shyam Sundari was always by her mother's side, running back and forth, serving me in a spirit of enthusiasm. She cooked for me and served me lovingly. I remember how she served me delicious salads that were decorated exquisitely. I was so impressed by the beauty of these that I mentioned they should be photographed. After prasad, we sat and spoke for more than an hour on practical matters of our home sciences course. She was questioning, how can I spiritualize what I learn at college? She was awaiting her results, which was due any time. She discussed what she was going to do after that. I have fond memories of her last days amongst us. She was attending the Bhagavatam classes and thus performed very intense devotional service just before departing. I am reminded of Parikshit Maharaj. He was fortunate to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and then leave his body. Of course, we would have preferred that she stayed longer, but this was a glorious way to depart. Now I am starting Bhagavad Katha in a few days and will surely miss her. Maybe just one Katha was enough for her. Loknath Swami. Now we would like to request Dhyamit Prabhu to please speak a few words.
My offering was a little late, so I could not submit to the for publication in the book. But I have a few words written out, which I would like to read. Dear Shamsundari Mataji, it is exactly a year since you physically departed from our midst, but you have not departed from the hearts of the devotees. You have left behind many poignant memories of your bubbling enthusiasm for serving Krishna and the devotees. You have left many memories for all of us to remember and cherish. Your wonderful use of your talents in arts and crafts and drama in so many ways to enchant Krishna and the devotees. Your unique steadfastness in Krishna consciousness and its symbols all through your school and college days. Your innocence, simplicity, and childlike eagerness, and your sweet and loving relationships with devotees. Where and what you were in your previous life to this one, we do not know. But it must have been extraordinary, because in this life, Krishna placed you under the loving and transcendental care of a special devotee like Srimati Janava Devi, who brought you up right from childhood with all proper training and sanskars in Krishna consciousness, which is such a rare fortune indeed in this world. He also gave you the close association and deep affection of another wonderful soul, Brajakumari Devi, your elder sister. And what to speak of all the other wonderful devotees, too numerous to mention, who loved you like their very own. And most significantly, Krishna gave you a priceless jewel in your life in the form of a spiritual master like His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, who showered so much affection and mercy upon you. Where you are now is a question many devotees are asking in great concern. The answer is clear. Wherever you are with Krishna and Krishna's devotees. It cannot be otherwise. With such extraordinary lives behind you, how can your present one be any different? In fact, you can only be closer to Krishna than ever before. And your devotion and service will keep increasing transcendentally for all time to come. You have touched the hearts of all of us in so many ways. Thank you very much for your wonderful example. Hare Krishna, your servant Devamrit Das.
Thank you, Devamrit Prabhu. Now we would like to request Mr. Dilawar Singh Arora, who is the maternal grandfather of Shamsundari. He has composed a nice poem in a memory, and I would like to him to read it out to us.
मैं आप सब लोगों का बहुत आभारी हूँ आपने इस समय आके इस समागम में शिरकत की मैंने जो भी लिखा है उर्दू में लिखा है मैं उसी को पढ़ के सुनाता हूँ मेरे बाग की थी कली बड़े दादू से थी पली वक्त के पहले वो चली नई फूल थी बनी सबको लगती थी प्यारी सबकी थी वो दुलारी जीवन जो भी उसने जिया सबको बस में किया सबका दिल जीत लिया क्या गजब उसने किया दुख खुद नहीं सहा दुख किसी को नहीं दिया दो घंटों में दौड़ गई सबको रोता छोड़ गई अपनी यादें छोड़ गई
Now I will request Raj Kumari to express her feelings on this occasion.
Thank you.
months will go by as I'm thinking of you, Shama. Shama, Shama. Why did you leave me and go, Shama? Here I suffer and I cry. Not a moment will go by as I'm thinking of you, Shama. Shama, Shama. Why did you leave me and go, Shama? In your life you have shown that Sri Radhe only owned your hand and your heart, Shama. Shama, Shama. Why did you leave me and go, Shama? You took your beads to your heart and said, now please let me depart, for I have played my part in this drama. Shama, oh Shama. Why did you leave me and go, Shama? Here I suffer and I cry. Not a moment will go by as I'm thinking of you, Shama. Would I now like to request Radhika Mataji to read her offering?
Hare Krishna. Dear Shama, I found it so easy to talk and laugh with you, and now I find myself stammering and stuttering, unable to write a single line, not knowing whether to feel happy or sad. Every time I see a blue jacket or hear a girlish giggle, every time I meet someone who loves dressing deities or cooking fancy dishes, every time I see someone who rushes from place to place, seeming a bit crazy and yet so lovable, every time I see or talk to your beloved mother, I remember you, Shama. But life has to go on, Shama. Tears dry up and memories fade. We continue our feeble attempts at devotional service. The scriptures say there is no need for becoming a great scholar and eloquent preacher. The Lord is pleased with simple faith and surrender of His devotees. How did you know all these truths, Shama? Maybe it'll take us lifetimes to learn this. You are blissfully engaged in the pastimes of Radha and Shyam Sundar in the spiritual world. Do you ever stop for a moment to think of those who you left behind? 1 minute, how can you? Time doesn't exist in Golok Vrindavan. You were sent to the spiritual sky, leaving us here to grieve and cry. To follow you is our heart's desire. Your story will forever inspire. Oh Shama, please show us the way. Maybe we too will understand someday. And when our hearts are true and pure, maybe we will meet again once more. Good love.
I now request Banki Bihari Prabhu to come and read his offering.
I met Shyam Sundari immediately after I came in association with ISKCON. One day I saw Pooja, Preeti Manjari and Shyam Sundari together, laughing and having a wonderful time. To me, both of them looked like sisters. In the evening again, both of them were giggling together. I mentioned to Janava Mataji that in Shyama I see another daughter and that Pooja has found a wonderful sister. It became a regular sight. I would see them together in the temple, on yatras and especially in Vrindavan. At each place to find Pooja, I would always first try to find out where Shyama was. And once I found Shyama, Pooja would be found soon. I always thank Krishna for giving Pooja a wonderful friend and sister. She was such a positive influence on Pooja. It would be very easy to convince Pooja through Shyama. Whenever she stayed with us, I always felt that she was an extremely loving and caring child. She would tell us so many wonderful experiences of her serving Maharaj, her unflinching faith in Krishna, Guru Maharaj and Janava Mataji clearly reflected in her talks. She was extremely simple at heart, very transparent and non-egoistic. I often teased her by addressing her as Mataji. She would get really angry and tell me, "Just call me Shyama," and pointedly question me, "Is there any difference between me and Pooja?" She knew that I loved her as much. Even now I find her reflections in Pooja. I remember her enthusiasm during our deity's welcoming ceremony. She and Pooja started preparation for the special occasion months in advance. Both of them would shop together in Vrindavan, go to places in Mumbai. On 23rd November 2002, she was so happy to see the deities in their room. She was taking care of all the devotees, and all the while she was so happy. On the first welcoming anniversary of our deities, Sri Radha Gokul Chandraji, many devotees came, but Shyama was not there. I really missed my child, but when I saw her smiling picture, I strongly felt that she was very much present in her spiritual form. 4 Jan 2003 is a very painful day in my life. Even to think of it really hurts. For once I feel Krishna could have modified his plans.
Now request her college friend Sunita to come and read her offering.
I knew Shweta from the second year of senior college. Earlier, we really did not get along for some unexplainable reason. I remember her always smiling and chirpy and full of life. I always wondered from where she got all that energy. I realized what a wonderful first person she was when we started our specialized studies. We met every day and often would question ourselves why we took so long to get to know each other. We both would sit after practicals on the college veranda or under the tree opposite our laboratory or near the nursery. She always spoke of things she wanted to. She wanted to do in life, in the future, like her RD exam, her MSc at the University of Pune, her PhD and so on. Our sociology exams were the next day. Her Guru Maharaj was visiting Pune and was to stay at their home. She was very eager to serve him and cook a special menu for him. How was she to prepare for the exam tomorrow? I was wondering how she would do it. Would she give up the service to study or study and give up the service? She refused to compromise on either. She invited me over, and there I was sitting in the kitchen platform amidst pots, pans and spices, reading aloud from notes and text simply to help her revise as she continued preparing a special meal for her Guru Maharaj. I have never seen anyone so dedicated towards what they do. She was always there as a friend, no matter what time of the day. One could call her and she would make all efforts to take out time, some time to talk. Shweta to me was a wonderful friend and will always be.
I would like to read Priti Manjari's offering. She's just very overcome right now to read it herself, but I would like to read it out. Just like you, as we rode down the streets of Pune on your bike, we would sing wonderful songs, talk about your early days in Krishna consciousness, college and careers, and drama days. Seeing and hearing your enthusiasm, I would think, I want to be just like her. We would often climb up the tank and talk, climb up to the tank and talk for hours together. All your plans for the future. Oh, you had such zest for life, such enthusiasm. Almost like you knew exactly where you wanted to be a few years hence and were steering your life along the course. I have to get married to a boy from Bombay, she would say. I have to be around Guru Maharaj, the devotees, and Radha Gopinath Mandir. No matter what, I have to do it. Such dedication. Once I move to Bombay, I want to do so much. I want to plan diets for Maharaj and personally cook them. I want to make sure his health improves with this healthy diet. Such eagerness to serve. And also, she would say, in my free time, I want to learn Reiki and pranic healing so that I can give Maharaj distant Reiki for his health. Such love for her spiritual master. She would say, see, Pooja, I'm a useless girl. I can't do great things like preaching or distributing books or inspiring people. But I can do this menial service, so that's what I'm going to do to the best of my capacity. And I would think, such simplicity. As I heard you talk, your pure desires, your love and care touched me deep inside, and I thought, I want to be just like her. We'd walk down the streets of Vrindavan, riding the cycle rickshaws, shopping for deities, attending Sandhya Aartis and Damodar Ashtakams at Krishna Balaram Mandir, stand before the altar praying to Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, and invariably my eyes would turn towards you, silently speaking to Radharani, tears running down your eyes. And I would think, I want to be just like her. So often people confused us for each other. How is Mama? They would ask me. Is she back from Russia? Devotees would ask me, when did you come from Pune? On one occasion, I even traveled on your railway pass and the TC couldn't tell the difference. Why couldn't Radharani make this mistake too? Why couldn't she take me instead? But there was no fooling Radharani. She took her pick, the one she wanted, her real servant. The sincere one, the loving one, the better one. I prayed like you, but not with the same sincerity. I served like you, but not with the same love. I brought presents for the Lord like you, but not with the same devotion. I love my spiritual master like you, but not with the same purity. I visited Vrindavan like you, but not with the same consciousness. I associate with devotees like you, but not with the same simplicity. I chanted like you, but not with the same intensity. I heard like you, but not with the same realization. I did everything like you, Shama, but yet not quite. I never let it on to you, Shama, but I wanted to be just like you. Even now, I want to be just like you.
Thank you very much. my special appreciation for Shyam Sundari Devi's grandparents, Janabhamata's mother and father. They really extended themselves in a very, very special and wonderful way to help the family through this crisis, as they were also going through. We heard from everyone of Shyam Sundari Devi's natural blissful nature. Wherever she was, she made everyone happy in Krishna consciousness. Certainly she wants all of us to be happy in Krishna consciousness. Let us rejoice this glorious life and do what she would like us to do, to chant the holy name and dance blissfully in her honor. Please rise.